I've got to do the impossible. I've got to talk about what has been happening with Fishermen Ministry since 1984, all the way up to 2018, which is, that's an impossibility. And the biggest thing I need to do this morning is this. We'll be looking at some verses here as far as verses of Scripture. A lot of people, a lot of you that have money in the bank, you expect some interest, amen?
Yeah.
And how many of you are getting lots of interest? Well, a little to nothing as far as the world is concerned, as far as our investments there. But as far as the ministry is concerned, I am a converted commercial fisherman. I'm a fourth generation commercial fisherman. All my people came from Germany. And thinking about the fishing industry, I never would have ever known that God would have ever taken me off of that boat and placed me in a book and give me an opportunity to be able to speak to so many sweet people. So, Grace Baptist Church, all I can do to keep from crying here this morning, Grace Baptist Church, Dr. Frank Thompson, and thank you so much. I say like the little Chinaman, you know, when he is offering some thanks, you know, he just was, you know, he'll just back and forth tell you, thank you so much for helping us. You said, what are you doing? You know, what's going on? How in the world can you do this? How can I tell you a bunch of things that's going on here and it not be bragging, you know? And we do give God the glory for this. God take a little ignorant southern fishing boy and use him in the ministry. We have a lot of things going. We still do extensive radio programs. We're on 60 radio stations. We represent this church over 60 radio stations. It's all over the world. A lot of them down in the Caribbean, a lot of them out in the South Pacific, some of them in Southeast Asia. We do a lot of literature evangelism, which we've got back there in the back as far as the foyer is concerned. We do Bible school, Bible college training there in the Southeast Asia, also in India. You don't know it, but if you get to having the mullet grubs every once in a while through the mission ministry, this church, and your investment of Fishermen Ministries, you have men called to preach everywhere. When I say everywhere, it's an opportunity of mine every year or so to go to our Bible schools and to be able to go and check on the men that have graduated. And the little churches that's there, I wish I could just have, wish I had 100 video, as far as the presentation is concerned, church after church after church after church that's been started, and it's because you gave. Are you listening to me? It's because you gave. So your investment is good there. I guess our latest investment, I'll be honest with you, and think about fishing. I don't know if you do much fishing up here. If you don't, God bless you. And, you know, God will straighten you out at the judgment seat of Christ. And you think about fish, that's the food of heaven. It's what you're going to eat at the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's my little deal anyway. And if you want to argue about it, that's all right. The only food Jesus ate in a glorified body, and I got to go 90 miles an hour, is broil fish and a honeycomb. Did you hear me? The only fish, the only food God ate in a glorified body, our Savior ate in a glorified body, is that broil fish and a honeycomb. But I like to go, if I go fishing, I like to go where the fish are biting. Can you just sit on a bank and just sit all day long, you know? All of you go where the fish are biting. So what I do is go our globe, look around, comb our globe for opportunities. And I tell you, I found a fishing hole. I found a place where it's the former, thinking about the former mission land, the former country that William Carey invested so much in, and thinking about especially in the eastern area of India, which is Bangladesh now. I have befriended a national there that we've been working with a couple of years. His great-great-great-grandfather was won to Christ by an associate of William Carey, the follower of mission, the father of missions. And this area now is closed, engulfed. This entire area is closed in darkness. And we work, God's opened some doors for us to work in the Delta area of Bangladesh. The Delta area of Bangladesh, you don't have time to talk about this, of northern Bangladesh up in the Nepal is the Himalayan Mountains. Out of the Himalayan Mountains, you can imagine the water that comes out of that place. Down at the bottom of Bangladesh, there's 700 rivers. 700 rivers. And along these rivers live people that I can associate with because they make their living out of the sea. There's just a minor amount of people that's there. There's only 30 million in this one particular area. I said only 30 million. I didn't say 30,000. I said 30 million. And I can relate to their life. I just come back from there. And I was so excited to be able to work with a national that's there. And his name is Brother Lemon. And what has taken place after 2 years is just investing. There's no way you can go into heathen darkness and tell someone you believe in God. Yes. Have you ever heard of Jesus Christ? Yes. Bow your head and trust him to save you. You have no idea what you're talking about. Just completely. I mean, when we talk about darkness, I'm talking about darkness. And so it takes week after week after week after week of challenging these people and presenting the gospel over and over. And sooner or later, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. So they see the difference between error and truth. And you can see it with their eyes. I went into some of these villages. Once again, just came back the other day. It took 46 hours to get there. Got stranded in Istanbul for about 9 hours. Go into some of these villages, and these people just welcomed me. Someone was the first white guy they ever seen to begin with. And just want to touch me and just want to feel what I am and then see the little twinkle in their eyes now instead of heathenism. You see light. You understand? Well, little tears trickle out of the side of their face. Thank you so much for the gospel, you know. And in behalf of going there, a lot of these people have gotten saved. I was telling the preacher, for some reason, after they got saved, they wanted to kind of, they said, can we get together and talk with one another? They hadn't even been taught about church. But they wanted to get together. They wanted to talk to one another. And then begin to develop with them not only fellowship, but also some music. And I was delighted to be in their little churches. And right on the rivers, we have a piece of land that's there now. It's about 2.3 acres. There is no fundamental Bible-believing Baptist type. You don't own anything there. The government owns it all. We own this through the Fishers, Fishing Fields Ministries that's there. We want to establish kind of a little mother church there for little villages and also a Bible Institute. So these men that are feeling as if they are being called to the ministry, they don't understand this call as yet, but we can teach them. We just, oh, it's just such a wonderful opportunity. And it's fish everywhere. I had a friend of mine that said, Brother Mon, you want to come fish where I live? He has a lake in front of him. He took a piece of his t-shirt, bottom of his t-shirt, an old bad t-shirt anyway, and he cut a little piece off with his knife and put it on a hook, and he put it, dropped it over in the water, and a fish got it just like that. Bangladesh is just like that. You just have to be patient. So what William Carey invested in years ago, even though it's all gone, it's all in dregs, God blessed his word generation after generation after generation. The word of God kept working, and now back once again, sort of rising from the dead, some works that this man I had been involved in. So thank you for that. Just I wish I had time to teach so many things, but it's just if God can use me, I'll tell you, he used you. If God used an ignorant little southern boy, all I knew was the fishing industry. My father was good at it, and I could have made lots of monies in that particular realm. But it's so good to be taken off out of an old boat and placed in the book. Our literature table is back there in the back. Please, I want you to do this one thing. I want you to, if you would like to be caught up on our bi-monthly update, if you'll just sign that, we can send it to your email. If you have email, snail mail, that's good too. Email is free for us, but sign the ship's log, and we can tell you all these good things to where you can see firsthand your investment and what's going on. Everything is free back there. The tracks are different, unusual. I've had these here before. They have this nautical content, you know. I never get turned down. The best track I've ever handed out was called Heaven and Hell, Which for You? You try to hand that out now. You try to give that to somebody, it will not work. You got to have a tract that looks like it's got a National Geographic front on it or something like that. And we do that. And if you can use some of those are free. As far as our book is concerned, there's a couple of books back there. If you buy the big book, you can have the second book free. That's not what the sign says, but I've said that's all right. And nautical notes, if you like fish stories, you'll enjoy the book. And then the second book is a new convert's book. I found in the ministry, this is my 51st year in the ministry, if you can immediately get somebody into the Word of God, amen, they will. I'm telling you, people can talk about somebody didn't pan out. You get them in the Word of God, then you get them in church. Get them studying the Bible, and that's what basically the new convert's book is. But if you buy the big one, you have the new convert books free. All right, the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 49, Genesis chapter 49. Did I do okay? Did I do all right? Genesis 49, I gotta go. There's so much to say, and you're so full of this stuff, and you know what to present. Genesis 49. All right, if you handle the Word of God, you always give the context. The context here is Jacob's about to die. What is he doing here? All right, this is his last words. He talks to his boys. Let me show you how I can do it quick. He talks to Reuben, verse 3. Verse 5, Simeon and Levi, verse 8. He talks to Judah, talks about Judah, what's going to happen there. And then in verse 14, Issachar. Verse 19, Gad. Verse 21, Naphtali. Verse 22, Joseph. Verse 27, Benjamin. Which one did I skip? Verse 13. All right, there we go. Verse 13, all right. I am from the port of Bon Secours. This is a French word. It just means good or safe harbor. Here, we have a guy by the name of Zebulun. I have taken some Hebrew in the past, and the old Hebrew text says Zebulun. No, I don't. No, I don't. All right, it says Zebulun. What about this Zebulun? What was he given? It says, shall dwell at the haven of the sea, and he shall be for a haven of ships, and his border shall be unto Zidon. What in the world do you have there? Zebulun's portion of Palestine was actually from the Sea of Galilee west to the Mediterranean, of Mount Carmel, the River Kishon to the south, north through all the port cities of Phoenicia there. In essence, all the coastal area there of Palestine, the northern coastal area, which would have covered Tyre and Ptolemais and Dora and Caesarea on down toward Joppa. This is what he was given. And he was given this for what? He shall be for a haven of ships. What is that? Zebulun has got the ports. He's got the places where all the ships go up and down the Mediterranean from time to time as they have products that are going to come into his portion of properties there and go to unload. Also, he is there because of, from time to time, ships need a harbor. You said, what are you saying? What I've got to do, I've got to take a message and cut the thing down. I've got to cut all the inside of it out and give you just the illustrated part of it. And I hope it'll be good. You said, what do you say? What I wish for you, what I wish for this church, I wish that God would make this place as much of a Bon Secours as where I'm from. I want you to remember these. So what I did is I went through some things. I said, how in the world am I going to get these people to pray for me? Because I need prayer. What God does for us, a lot of times, is a product of prayer. I want to ask God to make this a place, make this a Bon Secours. You said, I don't know what you're talking about. You know, as far as vessels is concerned, a vessel needs a harbor. And you know, finding a harbor is kind of like salvation. Salvation is kind of like a ship finding a harbor. Have you ever heard of a song called I've Anchored My Soul in the in the what? The haven of rest. Zebulun, what do you got, bro? He said here, and he shall be for a haven of ships. We think about songs like I'm trying to think another one here off of my harbored in Jesus, safe and secure. So what I'm going to ask the Lord, please, would you make Grace Baptist Church? Would you do something to make this place a safe harbor? Now, let me give you a couple of things maybe you can remember. What is a harbor for? in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 27, and you don't have time to turn there, Acts chapter 27, verse 8, verse 9, and verse 10, the apostle Paul is headed to Rome. What he does is from time to time, because of the season of the year, they have to find places that they can find safety and harbor in. He finds a place here. It's there by the island of Crete. It's called the Fair Havens, the Fair Havens. And it's near the city of Lycia. You said what? They had this vessel in the Mediterranean needing a special place of safety. They go find a place called the Fair Havens. I think as far as my own life is concerned, there's been many a times, spent the first part of my life on an old boat and just in the Gulf of Mexico, just rocking back and forth and up and down, I mean to the starboard, to the port, and in bad weather. And sometimes it got to the point whereby the captain said something like this, "We cannot take this anymore." So we work basically the Gulf of Mexico, the bottom part from Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, Texas. When it got too bad, what would take place is we had to just stop. We had to pick up our nets. We had to stop. If you know anything about our Gulf Coast, there are a lot of what's called islands that are called barrier islands. These barrier islands, most of them except the island of the Chandelier, runs east to west. I mean, the wind is blowing out of the south. It's about to beat us to death. What do? As fast as we can go, our nets up, we go. Maybe we go inside Chandeliers, maybe inside Ship Island, Horn Island. We find one of the islands, go around the side of the island, get on the back side of the island. It's just calm. You said, what are you talking about, preacher? It said of old Zebulun, he shall be for a haven of ships. I'm saying this. As far as thinking about a harbor is a place, it is a place of safety. Now, I want to say this. I think that's what this church ought to be. This place ought to be a place of safety, because when you hear of Jesus Christ, only in Jesus Christ is there safety. You understand what I'm talking about. We think about in the book of Proverbs chapter 21, it talks about safety of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 29, it talks about he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. In Psalm 107, verse 29 and verse 30, talks about they that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. And then it talks about he raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. Then he talks about this. He maketh the storm a calm. And then he said, then he bringeth them unto their desired haven. I'm telling you, I don't know if you know what it's like outside this building, but our land is just rocking back and forth. And the storms, I tell you, the storms, whether it's storms of immorality, what do you want to, a lot of different things can be said there, but I'm saying this, people need a place of safety. They need a place out of the storms. You know, out of the storms, you know what I'm talking about. This place here should be a place of safety. Does this church offer this? And what I want to do, I want to trust that that is what this place is all about. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest in Jesus. I'm safe evermore. I got to go. We think about safety. All right. If a harbor is a place of safety, I found this. A harbor is a place to be built. Zebulun shall dwell at the haven of the sea, and he shall be for a haven of ships. This place needs to be a place of safety. There needs to be safety in this place. You understand? And the only way that can be true is magnifying and glorifying Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ can give people safety, not only just in life in general, but also safety as far as eternity is concerned. A place of building? As far as building a ship is concerned, if you're going to build a big ship or a big yacht, what you do, you go out in the middle of the Gulf of Mexico and you start the building process, correct? No. All right, if you're going to build a vessel, you're going to have to find a piece of land. Within a 300-400-500-mile range of this church right here, some of the largest shipyards in the world. If you're familiar with anything, as far as Mobile, Alabama, thinking about Austal. Austal is a huge shipbuilding company there in Mobile. And it's right in the harbor. It's right on the edge of the harbor. If you come into Mobile, you're coming in on 10 West or 10 East, that there you can see there giant metal buildings. And in those buildings, they're building for the Navy right now. They build the fastest thing the Navy's got right now. the fastest ships the Navy has, but it's built right there in the harbor. And as far as building, when that thing is built, it's built on a runway to where what they'll do, they release that and just release it to go right down into the harbor. You follow what I'm talking about? And you say, well, I don't get this. The same thing is true as far as Mississippi is concerned. You ever heard of Ingalls? Ingalls in Mississippi built the largest carrier. We think about the carrier that the Navy has. You said, what are you saying? All right, I'm saying this. This church here not only needs to be a safe place, but the word has already been used two or three times in here. This needs to be a place where people are built. Where are you built? You know, if you're not built by God, you're going to sink. As far as church is concerned, a good place. Oh, we think about the harbor of salvation. The harbor of salvation bring you to the harbor of growth. Jesus is the wise master builder. Sure, wish I could get into that. Can you imagine the hands of Jesus Christ when he was young? Like some of these young men in this building. Hey, I can tell this church is in good shape because I see some young faces, amen. And the hands of the Savior. What would it have been like in Joseph's carpenter shop to see something that Jesus Christ actually made? Maybe he made a chair or whatever it was. I know it was good. Whether he cut this out with a handsaw and then planed it and then somehow with some type of sanding process they had back there, saying that the hands of Jesus Christ would make something perfect. So you not only need to bring people in here as far as safety is concerned, but it's a place where people are built. And yes, preaching of the Word of God gets it done. But the Bible talks about teaching and preaching. That is so important, so important. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, you're God's building. Colossians chapter 2, rooted and grounded in Him. You know, we need God. We need God to build people in this age. People have fallen by the wayside, a place of safety, a place of building. And of course, as people are built in local church situations here, and they sound the sea of life. What about Zebulun? Zebulun, whoever you are. Zebulun shall dwell at the haven of the sea and shall be for a haven of ships. He's got the best place as far as I know. I like the sea. I like the ports. I like the harbors that's there because it's a help to vessels. Not only as far as this church, I wish for this church, people outside this church, sooner or later they can find out this is a safe place. Not only is this a safe place, but you go there, you can be built. I wish I could give you mission stories of people that have come to know Christ in darkened areas and see how their life just completely changed through the ministry of a local church and see them getting the Word of God, and their lives were just completely different, completely different. Not only that, in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 27, verse 14 and 15 and 16, it talks about, remember the name of the hurricane that got Paul on the way to Rome? Remember the name of the hurricane? Well, of course, over there it's called a typhoon. And remember the name? Acts chapter 27 starts with E. All right, it is the, if it's E, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The fifth hurricane of the year. Hey, if you didn't get anything out of the message, you know, you got that. I learned in Acts chapter 27, Euroclodon. It's Euroclodon. The fifth hurricane of the year. I tell you, as far as the Apostle Paul is concerned, it was fixing to put that ship on the bottom. Euroclodon, you said, what are you saying here? I'm saying here, as far as the harbor is concerned, in Acts 27, 14, 15, and 16, it talks about how that they had to take the ship. The storm actually just beat it apart, just beating it up. And they're about to drown, you know. They find a place to go into dock, and as far as the docking is concerned, the ship had to go in there for repair. My uncle on my mom's side, my mom was a Nelson, which is High English. My dad was Mund, which was the German word for mouth. And I don't know how that fits as far as the ministry is concerned. And outside the fact, if you were years a year, you'd go into Germany, what you do, you knock on the door of the village and you want to speak to the mouth of the village. That would be the Bürgermeister or something like that, you know. But my mom, her name is Nelson, and my uncle, now transferred to my cousin, Jim Nelson or James Nelson. He has what's called a repair dock, and he has there what's called a travel lift. And if you had a vessel and you have some problems with this vessel, What you do, you take it down to the dock area there, and there's a deep water area. What they do is they take that travel lift and those straps, and they lower those straps down the water. You run your boat on top of that, and he picks your entire boat up out of the water. I mean, 40, 50, 60, 70, 100, 120, 130, 140, 150 foot boat, just pick it up out of the water. And you look under and you can see damage to the hull. You can see damage to maybe the propeller, the shaft, the rudder, or whatever. You understand what I'm talking about? So as far as church is concerned, I said it's a place of safety and a place of repair. You know what churches really are needed for today? And what I trust God will make this. This church needs to be a place of repair. Isn't it so sad that when people experience damage and when they have problems in their life, they fall out of church? Instead of preaching, my telling the truth, instead of being in church. You said, what do you say? I'm saying, as far as we think about a place of repair, what a wonderful place. As far as repair is concerned, all kinds of things can be said here. But speaking in a spiritual way, people come in here, love and attention and repair. I tell you, a lot of people think after they get saved, as far as their vessel is concerned, they're on some pleasure cruise. You're not a pleasure cruiser. If you're going to describe yourself as a vessel, it would be a battleship. As far as a battleship is concerned, and if there was what? If there was war, and there's war out there. If there's war out there, you're going to get shot at. Sooner or later, you live for God and you do what you need to do for God. Sooner or later, you're going to be wounded. You know what wounded people need? They need a spiritual travel lift. They need to come in this place and the Word of God is taught and the Word of God is preached. Oh, you get lifted up there and you see the problems that's there. You understand what I'm talking about? Just simple, elementary, down to where you see the problem that's there because it was brought to you by the Word of God and you get it repaired. And out again, out into the sea of life for service. Wish I could just give you some more stuff there. My feelings for you, oh God, make this a bon secours. Make it a safe harbor. Make it a place of building. Lord, make it a place of repair. I like this best of all. What about you, Zebulun? Oh, shall dwell at the haven of the sea, and he shall be for a haven of ships, and his border shall be into Zion, the best place on the Mediterranean. Zebulun, a place of safety, a place of building, a place of repair, but also it's a place to come ashore. I spent days and days out in the Gulf of Mexico. I mean, the water crystal clear, the most beautiful that you've ever seen. Well, I tell you, get sick of it. I'm talking about I got sick of it. You said, why? I want to go home. I want to go home. Was out a week, out 2 weeks. Maybe we were on the western side of Louisiana there, halfway between there and the Texas coast, you know, and worked there for a couple of weeks. It takes 24 hours to get home. The captain said, boys, it's time to get her. Let's go home. Let's go home. Oh, there's just something about that. What took place is, sometimes as far as wheel watch would clean everything up. It's time to run that 24-hour period. You take different wheel watch times. I remember a couple of two or three times I had the watch that was from about 2 o'clock in the morning to about 6, which is the hardest time. I mean, to hold the helm. My hardest time. And the captain said something like this. He said, we're running. We've got to run around the boot of Louisiana, which sticks way out into the Gulf of Mexico. We run around that boot and then run straight across the Gulf right toward Mobile Bay. And he said, what you're going to do within a couple of 2-3 hours, you're going to see Sand Island Lighthouse. So what I do, steer, go back and get something to drink, get something to eat, you know, steer. What I do is put it on an automatic pilot, go to the front of the vessel there, and it's as far as I could sit, I look on the horizon and see, because I know I had took a point. I know as far as the compass is concerned, I know what I'm supposed to be doing as far as the direction is concerned. Look, run back in, sit down for a little while, run back up, stand on my feet for a few moments, and all of a sudden on the horizon, boop. Oh, there it was, the lighthouse. I was a little too far to the starboard, a little bit too far to the port. I sort of reconfigurated my situation, run right for that lighthouse. And then getting closer and closer and closer, all of a sudden I saw this sea buoy. Closer and closer and closer, all of a sudden get into Mobile Ship Channel, get into Mobile Bay, headed up toward Mobile Bay because I'm headed to the Bonsecours. I'm headed for the port of Bonsecours. What I do, I'm headed for the red beacon because that's the turn beacon going up into Bonsecours. And the closer I get, the more I'm feeling this, you know, it's there. You said, what do you got there? I have my wife standing on the dock. And she said, hey, come on. I have not only my wife standing on the dock, but I got a paycheck coming to you. You understand what I'm talking about? You said, what are you saying? That's what church ought to be like. Church ought to be an exciting place. Church ought to be a place where all of a sudden the preacher, maybe he read a bit of news or something that he found, and it sort of looks like the end of this age is coming upon us quick. It looks like we're closer home than we thought. And it's kind of like me looking for the lighthouse, seeing it's coming on. You said, what do you mean? Well, week after week, we see that soon we're going to be home. And it should bring some excitement. Should bring some excitement. And then I guess I could say this. We think about songs. I like a lot of old songs. You said, why? If you're 74 years old, you'd like old songs too, you know? I like songs like In the Sweet By and By, We Shall Meet on that beautiful what? Beautiful shore. Think of stepping on shore and finding it heaven, taking hold of a hand and finding it God's hand, breathing new air and finding it celestial air, of feeling invigorated and finding an immortality, of passing on from storm and tempest to an unbroken calm, of waking up and finding yourself home. I want to go home through the ministry of a local church. In fact, I like in our area what we do. I'm friends with mortician, not that kind of friend, but I'm friends with a funeral director. What we do, we take a lot of our people, the members of our church. They pass away. We put them right here in front, and we give them a send-off. We sing songs that has to do with crossing over Jordan. We send them a send-off. That's what church is all about. Now, a lot of times you can't do something like you said. What are you saying? I'm wishing for this place. This church is one of the best supporters that we have for Fishers of Men Ministries. For that being true, my feelings towards you, oh God, make this place a Bonsecours. Make it a place of safety. People can come in here and know they're going to hear something, not something false doctrine. You understand what I'm talking about? There's so much stuff going on. Even when you say Baptist nowadays, it's okay, all kind of flavors, all kind of stuff, that they can come in and feel safe. The Bible can be preached. Music can be presented. They can begin to grow in grace. And if something happens to them, there's hurt. People get hurt. As far as hurt is concerned, I have never experienced hurt like Jesus Christ. But if you call to be like Jesus Christ, sooner or later, something will happen to you. You need a church. Oh, you need church. You need church. It'll help you. And then what happens is church, I think, ought to be a bit of heaven. I've heard people say of a particular church, they were having some problems there, and they said, man, it's just like going to hell. What a horrible thing to say, man. What a horrible thing. You know, make out, pretend it is, do something, you know, to have it to be seen as a place that you can come ashore. Place of safety, place of building, place of repair. And that's 20 minutes of an hour deal, but I hope you understood what I'm talking about. That's my feelings towards you. That's what I want God to do for you, for your input to us. I can't come here all the time and say thank you so much. In fact, my goodness, it's been 6 or 7 years, I think, since I've been here. I do apologize for that, but I tell you what, I can pray. Oh, God, make Grace Baptist Church Make this a place of safety, of building, of repair, a place that people can come in and sense they're on their way home. Amen? Let's bow for prayer. Preacher, please. Father, we live here in a world that's geared to time. That's just the way it is. Lord, we say we don't want to put a stranglehold on the Holy Spirit. I certainly understand that. But Father, we're here in time, and time is ticking away. Do something for this church. Well, there are a lot of churches, lost pastors, a lot of churches closing the doors. May this always be a place, as I remember Grace Baptist Church, a safe place, a place where people can grow, a place where people can be repaired, and a place where people can get ready to go home. And Lord, if you do that, I believe not only will my prayer be answered, but I believe this church will be involved in things that have eternal significance to it. Thank you for their help to us at Fishers of Men Ministries International. In Christ's name we ask it.
Thank you, Brother Wayne. That was wonderful. Don't you think so? Amen. I tell you, I was thinking, first of all, if I could talk as fast as him, I wouldn't be able to preach anything in a series anymore. I wished I could. But when I was putting those points down, I thought, man, that's a series there, because good night. Our church, a place of safety, a place where people are built, a place where we can be repaired. And I love that. When we come to shore. He mentioned Acts 27. Sometime in your leisure today, read Acts 27 in connection with what you just heard. The Apostle Paul told him, said, it's not commodious to sail, and they did it anyway. And they got themselves in a whole bunch of trouble. And that storm he mentioned, it began to beat that ship and toss it this way and that. And they lost all hope that they would be saved. The world around them became so black, they couldn't even see the stars at night. For 3 days, they just bob up and down like shark bait. And they're tossed this way and tossed that way. And then there's this verse near the end. Paul, after a long absence... And that's the thing about being tossed around. It's difficult when it's a long absence before you get a word from God. That's tough. But what's interesting, guess what he told the people? Be of good cheer. Somebody like that, I'm going to be completely honest with you. Those kind of people typically annoy me. I mean, when I'm being tossed and I'm losing hope and I feel like crying, cry with me. Don't walk up and say, be of good cheer. But he was right, because he said, we're going to get to shore. Wouldn't it be great if we felt that way about the week's been so difficult, so hard, but say, thank God. You got these TGIF, thank God it's Friday. Wouldn't it be wonderful if God's people said, thank God it's Sunday. We can go to the lake, the river. Oh, we can go hear the word of the Lord. Amen. Well, that was just wonderful, and I appreciate it. Very, very much. Will you stand to your feet? Someone may want to pray, and there may be someone here who said, hey, I came in tattered and torn from life, but I've never trusted Christ. I've never put my faith in him. I've never been born again, and this is the moment. God calling you. Let's pray together now. Let's sing a verse of this. For whatever reason, you may need to come kneel. I invite you to come while we sing.